Why did Phyllis?
What?
Phyllis Shapiro was supposed to be on here too.
I don't know. It was just me for a while.
Okay, we're going to pause recording. Hello, everyone. Has anyone heard this joke before? I thought it was hilarious. Bill, you are telling me this. Right? Rivka asks her father, Lavan, this week's Parsha, if she can start dating. Father says, no, Rivka, you're only 3 years old. You're too young. Rivka answers, I know, but I'm in the Parsha. And for those who know, like that. Knows the modern, never explain a joke. The modern Orthodox, the Haredi lingo, being in the Parsha means that you have children in the Parsha when you're trying to get Shidduchim for them. So Rivka's in the Parsha. It's all about finding a Shidduch for Yitzchak, but obviously she didn't do the dating. She just went out to get some water and she was nice to a stranger and then she got married. But it starts out really with Abraham sends an agent to find this match for his son Yitzchak. That's where the central story of this parsha starts out. Abraham zaken ba bayamim, and Abraham had gotten old, getting along in days. Hashem berachet Abraham b'kol, and Hashem blessed Abraham with everything. Yomer Abraham el avdo zekan beito, and Abraham says to his servant, I'm going to say a slave, zekan beito, the elder of his house, Hamoshel b'chol shelo, who ruled over everything that he had. Sim yadcha tachrechi, put your hand under my thigh as a sign of an oath. Vashpiacha b'Hashem okei Hashemayim okei Haaretz, and I will make you swear. I will have you swear, and Hashem was God of the heavens and earth. That you will not take a wife for my son from any of the Canaanim that among whom I dwell. I want you to go back to my family, my homeland. From there, you're going to get find a wife for my son. So we're going to look at this. Abraham says to his servant, the one who's in charge of everything, his personal servant, and everyone knows the name of Eved Abraham, right? Which was Eliezer, right? We all know that, and that's Targum Yonatan says explicitly, Bamar Abraham le Eliezer Avdei, Savad Devetei. And Abraham says to Eliezer, his servant, the elder of his house, Shalit Bachol Apotiki, that we had was in charge of all of his business affairs. I think we all know that this Eved is never named anywhere in the text. He's always a Eved. Right? So where does it come from? Where does the idea that this is Eliezer come from? How do we know his name is Eliezer? And this idea that the Agada, the Midrashim find Eliezer all over the place in Abraham's life. Whenever we have an unnamed person in Abraham's life, it's got to be Eliezer. We see that when Abraham rescues Lot. Lot's kidnapped in the War of the Five Kings by Yishma Abraham, Kinishba Achiv, and Abraham hears that his brother, literally his nephew, and taken captive by Yarek at Chanichav, and he unleashed those he had trained, Yildei Beto, those who had been born in his house, Shmona Asar, 318, by Yadofa, Dan, and chased after him until Dan. We know the Rashi on this, Chanichav is Zen Eliezer, Shinchol Mitzvot. Who is this Chanichav, the ones he had trained to fight this war? That's Eliezer. And here's Shinchol Mitzvot, that he educated him in Mitzvot. Again, the text doesn't say that. It doesn't say anything who he was, but we're identifying him as, we're identifying this unknown beyond our people as Eliezer. And so it's 318, Shimon Asar, Ushlosh Me'ot, Rabbeinu Amrush, Eliezer Lobado. Gemara says that this was Eliezer. What's 318? Uminyan Gematria Shel Shemo. Eliezer is 1 plus 30 is 31, plus 10 is 41, plus 70 is 111, plus plus 7 is 118, plus 200 is 318. Gematria of Eliezer is 318. That's what this 318 was. Can't hear you there.
You know, for me, this has always been the prime example of merging without separating Midrash and text.
That's why we're here, because we're going to talk about Midrash and we're going to talk about text and what does Midrash say. So we all call for a God, and I'm going to use the word Agadah rather than Midrash, because I think that's the technical for sort of the narrative stories that are built around the text that we have, that we take them seriously but not literally. That's the way I would put it, that they're there, that it means something. And am I going to say that this is what it is? And we'll talk about that a little bit, because that's exactly what you have to look at when you're looking at the Agadah. Not, is this what happened? But why say that? And similarly, we got the same thing by the Akedah. Vayashkem Avram baboker. Avram gets up early in the morning. Vayachavosha kamro, settles his own donkey. Vayikach et shnei naravitel. It takes his na'arim, which I would translate na'ar here as his stewards, right? His major sort of personal assistants. Bet Yitzchak Benon takes Yitzchak, and he splits the wood and goes into the place that Hashem commanded. And who is he? We have another anonymous people here. Rashi, again, from the Gemara, is Yishmael and Eliezer. Eliezer pops up again, another Na'ar. In actual fact, this name Eliezer only appears once in the entire Torah, as Abraham's Ebed, and that's way back. So right now, Abraham is approximately, 140 years old? Way back when he was 70 in the Brit Ben Ebitarim. Achad Rima Ela. Well, he's probably 70, about 80, so it's after he comes to Eretz Canaan. So 40 years before. 50 years before, after these things, after the war of the four kings with the five kings, Hashem speaks to Avram in a vision. Al tira Avram, don't be afraid. Oh, don't be afraid, I will protect you, you have great reward. Yomra Avram, and Avram says, Hashem Elohim matitein li. God, what can you give me, and I am childless. But Meshek Beiti, and a person who supports my house, who provides for my household. Picha Yishak Kol Ami is described, Yosef described. Meshek is to provide for. The one who provides for my house, who the Meshek Eliezer. He is the Damascene. I like that word. Person from Damascus. Actually came in a crossword puzzle by an amazing coincidence yesterday. Domestic Eliezer, the Damascene Eliezer. Eliezer from Damascus. That's where Eliezer comes from. Remember Avram, Henli, Natata Zara, and Avram says to Hashem, you didn't give me any children, Henli, Ben Beiti, Arishiti, and a person who isn't in my house. A member of my house is not my flesh and blood, will inherit from me. And Hashem promises, no, it won't be this one. It will be one who comes from your loins, one of your children. Will inherit you. You will have children. So now, Phyllis's problem is, where does this go? All this Eliezer by our story. Now, sometimes in terms of Pshat, that may be reasonable. Our story is described as Hamoshel B'chol HaShalom, the one who is in charge of everything. You know, so this person who's named Domestic Eliezer is described as Ben Meshek Beiti, the provider for my house. So maybe it's the same person. It's late, it's a lot later, but it could be the same person who's been with Avram all those years. So Na'ar in the sense of Yakeda, yeah. Na'ar could be Eliezer, why not? But we don't have any proof of it. The 318 mentioned being one person, the Gematria of Eliezer, that's certainly not Pshat. But Eliezer may have been one of those because he is again described as Yilidei Beito. Just like he says here, is Ben Beiti. The words are the same there, so maybe one of them. I'm okay with saying he's there, but that's not why we're reading the Midrash. It's to find out the names of these people. It means something. Why do I care? Why do I need to identify this person at all? And I think the answer is because Eliezer in the Agadah, what does he symbolize? He's more than just the manager of the estate. He's the disciple of Avram. He's Avram's disciple. Everything that Avram tried to teach, Eliezer learned. That's what the Gemara describes. Our parasha talks about him being Hamoshel b'chol asher lo. He ruled over everything that Abram had, meaning what? Amar Elazar, Shemoshel b'torat rabo. What did Abraham have? Not the money. That wasn't important to Abraham. It was the teaching. It was what he was. It was the ethical monotheism he was given to the world. That's what he was Moshel. And he was the Mesek Eliezer. Similarly, the Gemara is going to make a pun on the Mesek. Amar Elazar said, "Dola umashke mitorat rabo el la acherim." He draws. It's dole umashke. What he's providing for, he's drawing out the Torah of his Rebbe, of Abraham, and he gives it to others. That's what Eliezer is. Similarly, the Gemara looks at our parsha and says, Abraham zaken by bayamim. What does zaken mean? Right? Kedushin, Esrali shivim zaken, ish mizik ne Yisrael was zaken. Zaken here doesn't have to do with age, it has to do with wisdom. So too, Abraham Avinu Zaken v'yoshev b'shiva. Abraham was a Zaken, in the sense of his Chachma, was sitting and learning. A little anachronistic to call it yeshiva, I don't think it necessarily had a building, but he was learning. There was a message there. It says, Abraham Zaken b'yabimim. So, Eliezer Eved Abraham, again, we're going to give him a name here, but the Torah calls him Eved Abraham, was Zaken. He's Zakan Beitel, that's what we said. Zaken v'yoshev b'shiva. Oh, yeah, same thing. He's also called Zaken. He's yoshev b'shiva, he's learning. Shemar v'yomar Abraham el abdo Zakan Beitel. Same message there. It's evidence as Zaken. Similarly, v'yomar Abraham el abdo Zakan Beitel. What is Zaken? She has Ziv Ikonoshalo, Ikoninshalo. He was the mirror image, Domelo, mirror image of Abraham. Not necessarily how he looked, but what he meant. This Eved was Abraham's disciple. Abraham came with a message. He was there to teach the world, and Eliezer was there right next to him. Moshel, Bechol Shalo, what does that mean in the Midrashic sense? Jeshalit b'Yitzrael, Moshe b'chol ha'shelo, that he was ruler, Eliezer was ruler of everything that he, Eliezer, had. He controlled himself. Part of Midot. Ezer gibor ha'kovesh Yitzrael, he was shalit b'Yitzrael kamoto. He could control himself the way Abraham could. So where does that come from? That Eliezer is a disciple. It's not just an Eved in the sense of managing the estate, but in terms of the one who would carry on Abraham's mission. I think the name is where we saw Eliezer from. He's called Damascus Eliezer. Why do we care that he's from Damascus? The answer is, because where is Damascus? It's in Syria now, obviously. Bill says, it's about to give an answer over here.
Oh, I just said Syria. So.
Yeah, right. Okay, in terms of Tanakh, it's in Aram. Where's Aram? That's where Avram comes from. Okay, Avram comes, being of Lech Lecha, Vaykach Avram at Sarai Ishto. Avram took Sarah, his wife, at Lot ben Achiv, and Lot his nephew, the Kol Rechusham Asher Rachashu, and all their property, but at Nefesh Asher Asu b'Charan. And all, literally, the lives they made in Charan. They come to Canaan. What is a nefesh asher asu v'charan? Rashi here brings the midrashic interpretation before the pshat, because the message is not in the pshat, right? A sheikh nisan tachar kanfei hashchina. A nefesh asher asu v'charan are all the people that Abraham had brought tachar kanfei hashchina to the service of God. Avram megayer tanashim, b'sarei megayer tanashim. Abraham Sarah together brought the people in. And that's why the pasuk considers them as though they were made. They made those neshamot. They brought them from Haran.
You know, it's almost pshat.
I agree. That's why Rashi put that first.
Yeah, it's very pshati. It says hanefesh asherasu. You wouldn't say.
I agree completely. Right. Yeah. So, okay. No, so stam case. But Rashi brings it separate. Secondly, that, that you know, I yeah, if I didn't have this whole concept of who Abraham was, I would say it's avadim shvachot shekunu lahem. That kinyan is also as asa. But you're right. Rashi's telling you that that's not the way to read the text in the context of who Abraham is, and if we know Abraham, we know that everything he does, he is. This week's parasha is called Nesi Elokim. He is the Prince of God. Everywhere he goes, he's Kareb Hashem Hashem. He calls out the name of God. That's what he's trying to do. So clearly, that's what he was doing. We don't have his backstory explicitly, but we know it's there. It's all kind of permeates everything we know about Abraham. And so that's what he's doing as Tu B'Charan. So that telling us that Damascus is in Aram, that implies that Eliezer came with Abraham from Haran. He is Ben Bayit. He's Yelid Bayit. He's one who was born with him. So this phrase of Damascus Eliezer is this bridge between Drash and Pshat. So he is, Eliezer in this sense, is symbolic of the Nefesh Aseres Tu B'Charan. He is in the Pshat of it, the Eved, who came with him. In the drash, he is the nefesh asher asah, the well, he was brought to the tachat kanfei hashchina. So every time we're seeing Eliezer in the Agada, I would argue, we're not saying, hey, this is the person, but this is who we're supposed to see here, that these are the ones that Abraham had, not in his own family, but had brought into the service of Hashem as part of his mission. So Abraham's called the Av Hamon Goyim. Pasuk says. But there are two different ways of looking at it. One is, as we said before, it's only hinted in the text, but it's development, got it, that he was a leader of a religious movement. Right? He was an iconoclast, destroying idols, but he had a following, preaching ethical monotheism. He brought ethical monotheism into the world. But the other side of it is what the Torah actually emphasizes, that Abram literally was a father. And we see the people and the nation that developed from him. But his progeny would become the carriers of that ethical monotheism only after centuries of suffering. So Abraham has this mission right now, and he's successful. He's got these people with him. That's the Eliezer. But the ones we know are the ones that come out of Egypt 400 years later. So now, Abraham is sending the Ados Zakan Beito off to find a wife for Yitzhak. What that means, we're identifying this as Eliezer, is because I was saying that Abraham is not looking to his disciples to continue his legacy. He is saying, here, you need to go and find the next generation, because you, Eliezer, are not going to be able to do it. This sending Abdos Zakan Beito out to find a wife for Yitzhak, in effect, is saying, Abraham is saying, I've failed. That this movement that I started is not going to live beyond me. I've got changed plans here. And that's what the Rashi says about when the Eved is describing his mission to Rivka's family. He says, Ulailo telecha yesha acharai. Maybe this woman won't come to me. And it says it without the vav, and it says, a lie, maybe to me. The women will go, a like it. This is Rashi. Bataitala Eliezer. Eliezer had a daughter. And he was trying to find some strategy. Shiomer lo Abraham, this note Ela, that Abraham would say, here, why don't we marry Yitzchak to your daughter? Vasibito, Mary's daughter. And you'll be continue on. Your family, Eliezer, will continue on this legacy. Amar lo Abraham, Bini, Baruch, Bata Arur. Abraham told him, no, my son is blessed, you are cursed. And the curse cannot join with the blessed. It was a very harsh thing to say. And we talked about it last year, about what that means. We'll come back to it. What is that saying here? That, and again, this is not something that the Chazal are saying that Abraham said, because this is in when the Eved is talking about what happened. This is something that the Eved felt about himself, that Abraham would never allow me to join his family because I am Arur and he is Baruch. Why am I Arur? To go back.
Wait, could you go over why it's Eliezer thinking about himself and not.
I didn't go into detail over here because if you look at the pasuk, let's go find our book. Yeah, let's go back over here. Let's go look at the pasuk again. Okay, Avraham Zaken by Bayamin, right? And then he's tells his servant, you need to go. And he says, Bayomer Lapa Evet, and the servant says, Ulai lo tove yisha lecha racharai. Maybe the woman won't go to me, and then, etc. That's what he says. There it's written, Ulai, straight out. That's not the Eli, maybe it's to me. It's only when he's retelling the story. Okay, I won't eat until I can tell my story to you, the family. He says, Eved Avraham Anochi, I am the servant of Avraham, etc. And by Shmini Anile Mar, my master made me swear, Lo Yikach Yishad Avni. Omar Arani Ulai Lo Telech Hashan. And that's the Ulai, maybe it means, Rashi, the Gemara says that means Eli, maybe it means to me. In other words, we're reading it not in what the story of what happened, but the way Eliezer is retelling the story. The Kutzke is one who says that the reason why it's we're reading on here, because this wasn't something that he intentionally said to Avraham. Something he realized as he's telling the story, this is what I had in mind. This is what I was thinking. The implication is that Avraham never told him no, because this is just him thinking to himself.
So before it says he thought, he imagined or projected that Avraham said that?
That's the way you have to read it. If the interpretation is on the word here, where he is retelling the story, and not before when the actual text actually says what happened, then presumably this is in his words. Okay, that he is describing himself. And we'll talk about why.
Okay.
We go back that the idea of when Avraham says, "Nolatati li zera b'nein bin b'ti yereshoti," back in the Reaping of Tarim, right? You haven't given me any children. This person in my house will inherit me. He's effectively rejecting his adoptive family. This nefesh shav shubacharan. It's just the whole story of Bipa Vatarim is Achar Hadarim Ha'ela, after these things. What were the things that the Bipa Vatarim was after? Where it says it's after the war of the four kings and the five kings. What happened at the end of that war? Yitzei Melch Sodom Lekratos, the king of Sodom comes out after the Acharei Shuvo Me'akodet Kedala Omer, after Avram fights Kedala Omer, but Melchim Shemito and all the other kings. He's rescued the people of Sodom. He's rescued Lot. El Emek HaShaveh comes to the valley of equality, who Emek HaMelech, the valley of the king. Rashi, again, based on that. Why is it Emek HaMelech? Midrash Agada, Emek Shehushru Sham Kol Mot, the valley where everyone came together, Bimlichud Avraham Aleihem. And Avraham was made king over everyone, right? Avraham had now basically gone to war and had conquered all of Eretz Israel. And that was a point everyone acknowledged that. Right? We don't see Avraham as a military leader, but he had some power there. He was a king, Nasi Elokim Lekatsin, prince of God, a leader. Everyone acknowledged that. What did that mean? Avraham has this crown, basically. He's being told, okay, you've conquered Eretz Canaan. King of Sodom and Amorah and all these other nations that are now independent are acknowledging you as king. I'm Rabbi Abba, I'm Rabbi Elazar, Marnadar. Ibnei ma ne'nash Avraham, Avinu. Nisht abdu ben Avram Mitzrayim matayim v'esar shanim. Why was Avram punished? Achar v'ma ela, he gets this message that your children will be slaves in a land not their own. After this war. Number one. Rabbi Abba said, Ibnei she'asa angariya b'det talmidei chachamim. One answer, because he used the Talmid HaKamim, the Chanichav Lidei Beito, his students, he inducted them into war. This gets brought up about drafting Yeshiva Bachram and all that. But here it says, by Yarek HaChanichav, he unleashed his students, the ones he had taught, Lidei Beito, those of his household. That's one reason why he was punished. That was a wrong thing to do. Mu'amar b'nei shepirez al midato shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shmuel says a more conventional answer because he questioned God. How am I going to know I will inherit? Right? How can he ask? How can Avram ask that question? So as he said, no, you need your children. You will not keep this land that you've just gotten. Rabbi Yochan Omar, Jehifrish bnei Adam mehikanes tachat kafei Hashchina. The answer is, why was Avram punished? Because he turned down all these people that he could have brought tachat kafei Hashchina into the service of Hashem. Shneimar tenli nefesh rechush kachla. The king of Sodom said, here, you keep the people. They're all yours now. Give me, Sodom said, give me the people back and you can take the money. And Avram rejected everything. He did not take the leadership that he had the opportunity for right now. And this is a quote from Rav Medan, looking at these midrashim, that this, Avram's response to the war was wrong, but it led to a different path for him. So Rav Adan is quoting Rav Binyon from the Gush. L'mayati b'avar, I learned in the past. Sheshita toshal Rabbi B'Yochanan, that's this one over here. His third opinion, that the fact that Abraham did not accept leadership over all the people of Canaan. It's the other side of the coin. That's the other side of this first opinion, that he made an angari of a Talmud Chachamim. He drafted his students to fight. That was the problem. They're two sides of the same coin. Why? That we grant that it was right to rescue the people of Sodom from their captivity. We have a tum. And from their servitude, Kishura Kesher Haduk, tied to the idea, part of that was not just to rescue them, but to actually bring them Tachat Kanfei Hashchina. That's what Avraham is supposed to be doing with all these people. Not just physically rescue them, but spiritually rescue them. The same Matarakazu, for a goal like that, Ra'ui Hayal Gam L'Tamei Chachamim. For someone like that, it was entirely appropriate that Avram's students, the Sakana, should put themselves in jeopardy, let's steal Lot at Sodom Imo, to go fight this war and save Lot and the rest of Sodom, if they had that larger goal. Achim Avram Ichlit, Nimshoch Yadam Eshay Sodom Imelot. But if Avram decides to wash his hands from Sodom afterwards, Rishalcham El Rishutama Kodema, and to send them back to their previous evil, in called Tam Shel Amet B'Milcham Tel. Then the war was not justified. Then the whole war wasn't justified. It shouldn't matter to him which, it shouldn't matter to Avram which side is going to win this one. It wasn't his battle. And he elal angari b'tamid chachamim, then he's using his students, Talmid Chachamim, inappropriately. So by giving the nefesh back to Sodom, he was rejecting his mission. Avram Nasug, Avram turned back. Hushav Lo'olog went back to his tent, Ubocher Luvater El Shultano, and he rejected his leadership opportunity that he had. Shultano B'merchav, and his broad leadership, Vakol Mashnatam B'yado, and everything that had been given to him, everything that Hashem had given to him. Very interesting way of looking at this. This was an opportunity for Abraham to establish a nation in Eretz Israel now.
So I missed, where does it tell us that Abraham rejected this?
Melchizedek comes in and says, "Enli anefesh rachush tkachla."
Yeah, and then what happened?
Give me the people and take the property. And then Abraham says, so clearly he had the opportunity, he had the power to say no.
And what did he say? What comes next?
And Avram says, I'm not even going to take the property. Not even Misruch on, not even, it says, shoelace or a leather strap.
Oh, he says, I don't want
anything.
What? I don't want anything. The property. But what about the nefesh? He won't.
He surely gives it. Yeah, he says even the property I won't want.
Oh.
Now let's look at the pasuk. You dalet.
Wait. So the Melech Sodom offered him what?
He offered. Right?
He said, give me the people.
People and take the money.
And what does Avraham do?
Right. I will take nothing. The Gemara is reading that as nothing, that you had the opportunity for everything. Right? Sodom has to ask, King of Sodom has to ask you for the people.
But where does it show that Avraham didn't keep the nefesh, you know, the nefesh show?
I mean, as being even. As that he rejected the money, and, you know, he wouldn't even take the money. Certainly he didn't take the people. Right? He let everybody go back to Sodom.
Oh.
The whole destruction of Sodom is afterwards.
Oh, I see.
He left Sodom to go back to their rules about not allowing guests. He didn't, right? He had the authority right now. He is effectively the conqueror of all of Eretz Canaan. He has liberated it. He is a military leader.
Yeah, it's funny the way it's written, because he says, give me the people and you could keep the money. And Avram says, I don't want any money.
Right.
But what happens to the people?
I mean, he clearly has the opportunity to say no. Now, the king of Sodom has to ask him, give me my people back.
And he did.
Yeah.
And he did.
He did, right.
Okay.
In other words, you know, the Gemara is finding fault in the absence. It's the gap there. What happens in effort? The answer is nothing.
Okay.
Right. Sodom goes back to being im v'chata im ma'od.
So he gives the nefesh and he doesn't take the rechush.
Right. Takes nothing at all. And the Gemara finds fault in that. Right? He's Vatero Chotanob Merchava Komash Natan Biyado Akarj Baruch Hu. Minastam Shikulavimo. And Stam, you would say he was right. Tilat Shiltan Ala Aras to taking the rulership, being the prime minister of all of what is now modern Israel. He got mitzlit achrayut al yashveha, means taking responsibility for everyone there. V'chanchem b'derech Hashem. It would mean to teach them the ways of Hashem. That's what it means if Avraham was now accepted in Malchut. V'derech hatzakal mishpat. That's what he's supposed to do, right? We see David does the tzedek mishpat. Avraham ra'el lefanav atzei Sodom. And Avraham saw these people Sodom, b'rishatam, in all their evil. V'niach shelo yachol amo b'misima. He said, I couldn't do this. I can't do that. Rotzelakim et ama Hashem mizera zera shalo. That's the point where he asks Hashem, Hina tazli zera. I can't do with all these people. They're not. It's not going to work. We need a nation here. I can't lead them myself. Even if it's me, and everyone loves me, and it's wonderful. I'm the CLO Kim. He's saying that it's just not going to work. And it's not so much that it's a punishment, but the conclusion of that, if I can't handle being the ruler here, then then we need to start all over. We need a different plan. Avram's 80-odd years old at this point. He's been working to spread the word of Hashem, and he's succeeded. He's had that. But he realizes it's not going to last. As soon as he's gone, Sodom's, you know, if he walks away, Sodom's going to go back to me and Rishaim. All the nefesh asher asubah charan, as soon as he dies, they go away. So he wrote Sela Kim et Amash and Mizerashal. He wants to start a new nation from his family. Bachanko Milato, he's taught from the youth. That's when we're going to start the new nation. So from that point on, Abba's mission is about family, not about evangelism anymore. It changes. And the question then is why? What happened? What did he see? And there's a hint in the wording of this week's parsha. If you go through the parsha, and we said it last year, look at the shir from last year. He's this Eliezer, the person we're going to call Eliezer, right? The Yelidei Beito, the Nefesh HaRasa, these people as symbolized by Eliezer. He starts out as being Eved. Ve'kacha Eved asar gemalim. It's Eved, Eved, Eved. Then when he comes to Haran, the noun changes. It now becomes Ish. As soon as he comes there, he says his bracha before Hashem, and then it becomes suddenly Vayvoha Ish Habaita. Now he becomes Ish. Vayvataka Malim, and he lets the camels loose. We can't have him spoil the limb. He gives them to eat, etc. They tell him to go, they offer him food, and then he starts out his speech. His speech starts out, Vayomer, Vayomar, Eved Avraham Anochi. I am the Eved of Avraham. And from then on, he's described as Eved again. It's very striking. Let's look at it. I'm going to look at that over here. I think I've put it out. There we go. Okay, here's all the noun, all the sentences that involve this entering Eved. We remember love Ha-Eved, 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 Ha-Eved. Right? Then, as soon as Rivka comes, Ba-Ish Mishta Ella. He's now an Ish. Ba-Kora Ish. Then he says, Bracha, Ba-Ivoa Ish. And then he says, Omer, Eved Abraham. And then he's an Eved again. Eved, 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 Eved. And that's a matter of his perception. With Abraham, he's Eved Abraham. He comes there, becomes an Ish, and then he describes himself. When he's talking to them, he's saying, he realizes, wait a minute. That goes with the idea of the Ulai, that I am Arur. Why am I Arur? Because I am Eved Abraham. That's my identity. I'm not an independent person. Right? And being an Eved is, it's a lot easier to be just a follower. I think of the heads of an Eved. But you can't be an Eved Hashem and be an Eved to a person. Right? Pasuk says, Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim, avadayim. Right? We are servants of Hashem. Hashem tzitzit hamayetzu trayim. Ani Hashem l'chichem. And Rashi says that, avadayim v'lo avadim l'avadim. You can't be a Jew if you're an Eved to a person. You've got to be Eved Hashem. And we will, of course, sing Be Our Guest, that life is so unnerving to a servant who is not serving. That's the way he sees himself. He's not whole without a soul to wait upon. Okay, that is the problem. That is what the Arur is. Canaan, the grandson of Noach, is cursed. Eved Avadim Yelecha. He will be an Eved to Avadim. That's the Arur that Eliezer has faced with himself. And that's what I think what we're seeing in the text is this shift from being Eved to Ish and then back to being Eved. As soon as he says Eved, and Eved Abraham Anochi, he's really that he is in fact an Eved. He's a follower. And therefore cannot be the leader of Bnei Yisrael. And that Abraham sees that in everyone who's following him. And he's not managed to create, followers. He's not managed to create any leaders here. And that's what's going to have to come out. This is the way Rav Lichtenstein put it. Kan achar yitziat Mitzrayim, talking about avadayhem, lo avadim lo avadim. After yitziat Mitzrayim, adam eni kavul b'tavech el pol v'yotzer, that man is not stuck inside nature, but is now becomes a creator. That's what you have to be. V'yadosh shalom masav tula midat hitgadmut. You have that human beings have the power to make things happen. I'm sorry?
What is tevach?
I was in the middle of things.
Oh.
You're stuck in existence.
Tevach.
Toch.
Oh. Okay.
That's why I read that. It's very poetic. Enhu nishtatef v'zer machayim b'alkorcho. He's not caught in the stream of life. Against his will, Allah mutelat hamisimat l'kaven. He has the ability to aim la nut v'adrichet arachotav. He can decide his own direction. That's part of what Yitziat Mitzrayim gave Bnei Yisrael. They need to explicitly do that. No longer be avadim. Dem ena poel kechetsa ba'alma. A person is not a thing, a gavra, but a human being. Gavra bal bechira, bal ratzon, Bal yecholot nipol, a human being who can choose, can act. Shesh adam mityaches la'olam mitoch nekudat mabat zu, when a person looks at the world through this point of view, mishtachrer hu me'ol shibudo shel hateva. They're now freed from the yoke of nature. And who owed eved l'chukei hateva. You're no longer a servant to the laws of nature. I can now do things independently. I'm not just subject to the determinism of my brain. I can rule them. I can act independently. I can act without my nature interfering. I can now do what Hashem wants of me. I feel like Yelad enough, I mean, to reach my true master. And that's what Abraham was looking for, and that's what he did not find in the Nefesh Asher Shubacharon, in domestic Eliezer. Right, this future Bnei Yisrael can never be Avadim to other human beings. And so that Abram looks at this pre-Lech Lecha mission, saw all these followers here, everyone in Yelidei Beito, and realized they were only followers. They could serve Hashem. We talked about Yirat Elokim being the moral judgment. They were fine, but only as long as he was there. They're going to change the world. They need not a movement, but a nation. And that's what Rivka was there for. She was one who would act without being a follower, and therefore she could be the founder of Bnei Israel. I will stop here. Did that address the Midrash Pshat question there acceptably? Phyllis?
Because there were real links to the text, except the one place where it's that 300 and